our brains to be able to help us when our soul is bombarded, because he knows that it's going to be. And so one of the best means or ways to go about doing this is through biblical meditation. And so my prayer is really that by the end of this weekend, you will see biblical meditation not as just something else to do, not as something on a checklist, not as something that God's saying, like, if you're going to be a good Christian, then you need to do this. But really that you will see it as God's gift to you, that you will see it as a way for your brain to work in the way that he designed it to work, that it is a gift that can counteract the effects of you being bombarded day in and day out. So let's kind of get in a little bit to this topic here. What is biblical meditation? It's not just reading scripture. It's not just truth. It's not just having a quiet time. Here's just a simple definition that we're going to work from this weekend. Biblical meditation is thinking scripture in the context of your life and talking to Jesus about it. Okay, so let's break down those two parts there and really think about what this is saying. So that first part, thinking scripture in the context of your life. So what we're talking about here is taking truth, taking biblical truth from God's word, and thinking about it in relationship to whatever is happening in your world, whatever is bombarding your soul, externally, internally, whatever circumstances there are, bringing truth and that thing together and thinking about it. Okay, so think back to the things that are on your list. Maybe you're reading in your quiet time, or you hear a sermon or a verse stands out or whatever, and it's talking about love. Okay, biblical meditation would be stopping right then and thinking, if I were really showing love, how would I show love to this person that is constantly bumping up against me? How would I show love in this particular circumstance? How would I show love with this thing that's very real in my world right now and is happening? Maybe you're reading about peace. Okay, what would it look like if I really had peace? Do I really have peace? What is peace? Okay, but stopping and thinking about that related to a situation, whatever's happening. Maybe you're reading about being a servant. God, how would it look if I was a servant in this situation? God, is there another way that you want me to serve that I haven't even thought about yet? Okay, but it's stopping and thinking about it in the relationship to your world. I think a lot of times it's easy to hear truth. It's easy to even pray truth and to want to be more loving and to ask God to give peace and to ask God to give hope without really taking that truth and putting it into the actual context of what is happening in our life. And that really is the key to seeing our minds change and being able to withstand the things that are going on in our world. In the armor of God, in the helmet of salvation part, Priscilla Shire says this: the enemy is after your mind. He wants to section off the things of God, truths of God, and the voice of God from your everyday life. Quite frankly, I don't think Satan cares a lot about what you hear at church. He doesn't even necessarily care as much what you hear during your quiet time, if you're doing a quiet time, if you're praying. But if he can keep you, if he can keep the truth of God and the voice of God and the things of God sectioned off from your life, it's not making a difference. And so that is his goal. It's what he's trying to do. Think of Jesus in the desert, the 40 days that he was in the desert before he went to go start his ministry. He was there, and what did Satan try to do? He tried to fill his mind with lies. He tried to say to him, you're the Son of God. You're hungry. Look at all these stones that are here. Why not just turn them into bread? Okay, now is there anything wrong with turning stones into bread? No. Did Christ have the ability to do that? Yes, he was God. Was he hungry? Yes, he had a physical body. He was physically hungry. But yet, what did Jesus realize? He brought the truth into that situation. Okay, but here, Satan, it's what you don't know and what you don't want me to think about. This is God preparing me for what lies ahead. So no, I'm not going to do that. He quoted scripture back to him, and Satan left. Okay, he brought truth into that actual circumstance that he was dealing with in order to combat it. And so this really is the key here, taking scripture, taking truth, and thinking about it in relationship to what is actually going on in your life. The second part then, talking to Jesus about it. This really gets into the relationship aspect of this, okay? As Christians, we are in a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants us to enter a dialogue with him. To be honest, when we're confronted, maybe you're thinking about love and you're thinking about this situation and God says, okay, well, love this person in this way. And you just say, but I can't. Like, he wants you to say that. He wants you to be real. He wants you to be honest. He wants you, Psalm 62:8 is one of my favorite verses, to pour out your heart to him. Like, where you are right now, what you're feeling, what you think you can do, what you think you can't do, and then to cry out for his help. It's also asking him, okay, God, what would it look like to be loving? What would it look like to have peace here? God, do I have peace? And then listening for his answers. Feeling the immense love and acceptance that he has for you wherever you are at that time and in that place. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was only two and a half weeks ago now, I had had a very, very long, long day of disciplining Jeremiah. The terrible twos were a breeze in our house for whatever reason. The threes, not so much. And so it had been a long day. Mark was away on a trip. So there was like nonstop, like just solid time. And so I finally got him in bed and I was just like, oh, that day was awful. And I looked back on it and like I knew that there were times that I should have done things differently, that I lost my cool, that I just did something that didn't help the situation. And so, and I think there's value in reflection and looking back and saying, okay, what really caused that? And what can I do differently next time? But because everything was so raw and so fresh, and my soul was feeling the emotion of it still, when I started to do that, it was just like this spiral, right? Until you get to the point like, I'm a horrible mom, and this kid's gonna be like so messed up, and there is no hope left. And so I was like, okay, like this isn't the time to reflect, to think about these things again. I need some truth in my mind, and I need some truth in my heart. And so I just picked up my phone. I had been listening to this podcast that was just scripture with music. I had listened to this one several times, and nothing, like I didn't think, oh, they talks about that. I need to listen. I need that truth. But I was just like, okay, God, there's got to be something here. You just speak to my heart and speak to my mind. And so it was from Psalm 37, and it got to verse 24, and it said this, though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And as soon as he read that verse, I just paused. And I felt God saying, okay, Carol, you know what? Yeah, you stumbled today. Yeah, it wasn't a good day. Yeah, you can look back and see what you did, but guess what? You're not gonna fall. You can't ruin this kid. Like, I'm God. Like, I'm in control, I'm sovereign. Carol, I have you by the hand. I'm holding your hand. We're walking through this. This doesn't depend on you. This depends on me, okay? So you hold my hand. Yeah, you'll stumble. Yeah, you'll stumble again. Yeah, you might stumble tomorrow, okay? But you're not going to fall. And as I just thought about that in the context of what had happened that day, as I poured out my heart to God and said, okay, God, like, I'm really glad you're here because I can't do this. God, I depend on you. God, I trust in you. God, help me. My emotions changed. My soul changed. I could re-enter that situation. I could re-enter the rest of my evening. I could re-enter the next day when Mark is still gone and I have this whole day that I'm looking forward into thinking, oh, is this going to be the same? I could re-enter it differently, okay? Now, that's the gift of biblical meditation. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. We're going to get into that a little bit tonight, but it's taking that truth, thinking about how it reacts and interacts with whatever is going on in your real world, and then just taking some time to talk to God about it.